Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 1,200 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to
Merry Christmas to everyone.
Jesus, you gave your time for the word. Amen. And we are so blessed that on Christmas Day, we have our Father talking to us. If you're excited, make some noise. Let's welcome Bishop Dagwood Mills.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for today. What a blessing we have to be in church on Christmas Day. We are grateful. We could be dead, Lord, but we are alive. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The sound of your music is horrible. Are you aware of that? I hope you are working on it. It's fantastically horrible. All right. Merry Christmas to everybody. All right. Today, I want to share with you from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I believe that we are going to be blessed. Yes. I'm preaching about the story of Jesus' birth. And I believe that it is going to affect your life tremendously. Yes. Today's service is an encounter for you. Yes. Your life is changing in this service. Every time you come to church, you are coming to have a deeper walk with Jesus. And your life will never be the same. Your life will be an improvement on your parents' lives. Whatever your parents couldn't experience, whatever good thing they couldn't experience, you will experience it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you have already begun to see the signs in your life. Hallelujah. Now, Luke chapter 2. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Taxed. Taxation. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. How many have heard of the story of Julius Caesar, who was stabbed? Remember that Shakespeare, all right? Now, it is both literature and history. It's an interesting thing. Julius Caesar, some of you did it, Macbeth. Those of you who did in literature in school. How many here did literature? Still some few doing literature. If you did literature, Julius Caesar is one of the stories you can have written by Shakespeare. But it was also history. It's actually what happened. He was a great warrior and a very wicked man also. And he came... There are many, many, many things about Julius Caesar. And he wanted to be the emperor of Rome. Actually, he was not supposed to come to Rome with his armies. The armies were, they were like on contract. But he would take them out to go and fight. And he fought mainly in France. France was not called France. It was called Gaul. So those of you who have read Asterix, Asterix stories, the comic Asterix. If you haven't, it's important literature also to read. If you've never read Asterix, since we came to the church, I've told you to read Enid Blyton books. And I've told you, I'm telling you now to read Asterix. You see, Asterix is a comic, but it enlightens you. And you see that the main thing about Asterix was a Gaul, which were the French people. And they were fighting the Romans. And Julius Caesar is famous for fighting the Gauls. He slaughtered them. But they really resisted him and he fought them. Anyway, so he came back to Rome after conquering to receive a hero's welcome. But on his way back, there is a river that they have asked them not to cross. It's called the Rubicon River. But when you are coming back to Rome victoriously with your armies, don't cross this river with the troops. They were all, every commander of the Roman army had that instruction. But Julius Caesar crossed it with the troops. And that signaled big trouble in Rome. That he was coming with another agenda to take over. So he crossed the Rubicon. So there is a saying, you've crossed the Rubicon River. It means you've gone too far. A step beyond where you should have gone. Yeah. Are you learning something already? Yeah. So he came back and then he came back, overthrew the people that were there, that were in Rome, and made himself the emperor. All right? And you may have heard that then he was with the Senate and they planned to kill him. And so one day when he was addressing the Senate, several of the senators came at the same time and all stabbed him in Parliament. And then he died. And when he died, his right-hand man thought that he would inherit the power. His name was Mark Antony. Have you heard of Mark Antony? Yeah, he thought he was going to come into power now that Julius Caesar was. So he rose up and he gave a speech. Some people who learn, trying to learn politics use that speech. Men, what is it? Friends, Romans, countrymen. And what is it? I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil men that men do lives after them.
Good is often teared with the bones.
The good is often
teared. So let it be with Caesar.
So let it be with Caesar. Wow. Those of you who did literature, anybody wants to be a politician, you have to learn that speech. Friends, Romans, Ghanaians. Anyway, Mark Antony thought that he was going to become the president. So he stood up and greatly decided to fight the people who had killed Julius Caesar. So he rose up. And after they had the funeral and all that, then the shock and the surprise was that Julius Caesar had written a will. And in his will, he had given all that he had, especially his money, to a person who was unknown. I don't know if he had a child, but it was not his child. And this person was called Octavian. Octavian. So Octavian was informed, and Octavian was far away, and he was informed that there's been a will, and you have inherited everything. So Octavian was a very clever young man also. He took a little boat and came quietly to Rome, not through the regular channels, and landed on some shore and arrived in Rome. When he arrived, he said, I am Octavian, and I've inherited everything. Especially the name. He was given the name Caesar. So, Octavian now became the head of state, and there was a big fight between Octavian and Mark Antony. Remember Mark Antony? The one with the speech. So gradually the fight continued until so many things happened and there was a big fight. The final fight was the Battle of Actium, where Mark Antony was defeated. And he ran away with his girlfriend, who was no other than Cleopatra. You must have heard of Antony and Cleopatra as well. Yes. I'm just trying to link it for you so that you can understand. He ran away with his girlfriend, Cleopatra. And one of Mark Antony's, Octavian's messages against Caesar was that he was not a strong person. He was following girls. And one of the girls he was following was this Cleopatra. He was just having a good time in Cairo, in Egypt. Are you there? So, the Senate, which said that they did not want to have an emperor, they said that we don't want an emperor, it's a democracy. They decided rather, so Caesar was very clever, this Octavian was very clever. He never called himself emperor. He called himself, I'm the first citizen of Rome. But the people of Rome decided to make him what he was not wanting to be, which is their emperor, and established him as an emperor, and then changed his name from Octavian to Augustus Caesar, which is this man who instituted taxation and asked everybody to go and be taxed. And that is what made Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem for taxation. Do you understand? So it was this, and this Augustus Caesar, this, and he was named Augustus. We have August. Julius was July and August. And August means like a very reverend, respected person. And he was a very stable ruler and ruled and developed the Roman roads. When they say all roads lead to Rome, it's from this man. He made a road from everywhere to Rome, a cobblestone road, which are still existing today. And he developed a great peace wherever Rome was ruling. And that was what we call the Pax Romana. You heard that before? Yeah, the peace of Rome. It's this man. So he is the one who said everybody should be taxed. And poor Mary and Joseph were forced to go in the pregnancy to their hometown, which was in Bethlehem. So a lot of circumstances you see, and especially politics, they are not by chance, as you may think chance is. A lot of things that happen, people that you meet, circumstances that are created, things that happen, they are all the orchestration of God to bring certain things about, especially his divine plan and his divine will. All right? Now, so verse 3, all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now, one of the things that you must know about miracles and miraculous things is that in the midst of the most supernatural things, there are many things that God does not interrupt. You see, the Son of God is being born, but the being born is supernatural in the sense that there is a pregnancy that has no father. At the same time, the pregnancy is 9 months. It could have been, let's say, a 4-month pregnancy. Do you understand? And she could have been born prematurely and have some fantastic breathing without lungs, and some more miracles could have happened with the miracle of Jesus' birth. But you will notice with almost every miracle, the mixture of the supernatural and the natural. Always together. Like us now, we are supernatural, but we are also natural. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places. Meanwhile, you are seated in the cafeteria. You are seated in the cafeteria, but you are also seated in heavenly places. So there is always a combination, an amazing combination of the supernatural and the natural. So that sometimes people are looking for the supernatural and they want the supernatural to cover almost everything. Lord, show me who I should marry. Shabalabaja. I saw an S. It means her name begins with S. Sarah or Sharon or Susie. So then what happens is that they set aside the rules of the natural, and those rules, when you set them aside, you set yourself up for disaster and confusion. You become a king of confusion in your life. I mean, the fact that this pregnancy is from God does not mean that it shouldn't be 9 months. Yeah. So it's a miracle. But what you must realize is that the 9-month pregnancy on its own is miraculous. I mean, if you do medicine, when you do medicine, you become, when you are not used to it initially, almost everything is fantastic. When you see a dead body and they're dissecting it, it's amazing. When I saw a woman giving birth, I was amazed. I was frightened. Hey, you can't believe it. You can't believe that something is going to come out of this place. Are you listening to me? Yeah. You just cannot believe it. So, you get amazed and you see that God is real. God is powerful. Amen? And you realize that even what we are thinking is natural. You see, your heart, for instance, since you were born, it's been beating. Boo, boo, boo. It hasn't said, I'm on break. So, I need to rest for this weekend. No, I've been beating for the last 32 years. You think? Everybody rests sometimes. I'm on Christmas break. Boo, 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 boo. If your heart stops beating for 1 minute, that's it. It cannot rest till the day you die. Yeah. And you think about even your legs. You walk 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. By the time you walk 1 kilometer, you say, I'm tired. I need a drink. Your heart has never asked for a drink. It's just going. Minimum 80 a minute. Boo, 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 boo. Some people have faster. 120. And it's going. Children's own are faster. As you get older, it drops. The more athletic you are, then your heart, if you are an athlete and I check your heart rate, you see that it's slow. It has the capacity. It's ready. Action. Yeah. So you check the heart rate of someone who does 1,500 meters, you see 40. It's got the capacity to just pump. Yeah. Yeah. So there are all those natural things are miracles anyway. The fact that you are alive is a miracle. I said it's a miracle that you are here. Thank God you are here. Amen. Let us continue with our Christmas story. And so it was while the days were accomplished, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And remember, firstborn, because even though she was used for a miracle, the natural things continued, and Mary gave birth to more children who were not the sons of God. Yeah. So you see, it's like she's Mary, the mother of God, at the same time, the mother of James and other Mulligano's children who were not really sons of God, who did not even believe on Jesus. So, everybody in the coming year, watch out for the supernatural and the natural combination all the time. That's what people get confused when you see a man of God. You see the natural and you also see the supernatural. And you may close your mind to the supernatural. So it's just, I mean, oh, don't mind this guy. Oh, that guy, I know him from school. Ah! You say, he says, don't mind him. You make a mistake. Because the natural is always combined with the supernatural. You give birth to the Son of God, the next time you give birth to a mulligan. Do you know what is a mulligan? Mulligan is like when you go and play golf and you hit the ball and the ball just goes away. It's a mulligan. Like you just say, it's non-scoring. It's like there's no scores for that one. So we've closed our eyes, we can't see. So Mary gave birth to the Son of God and after gave birth to non-scoring boys and gave birth to, boys that have gone astray, away. Hey! Who did not even believe in Jesus? It was later that they believed. Some of them believed. I don't know if all of them believed, but some. So watch out. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Some of you would have said, oh, it's supernatural. He doesn't need clothes. He doesn't need clothes. It's because he's supernatural. I won't buy clothes. The angels will keep him warm. Hey! So this helps us to see sometimes the use of medicine and the use of prayer. You find a lot of people say, I'm praying, so I don't need medicine. Or I'm taking medicine, therefore no prayer. You know, but when Kenneth Hagin had a vision and Jesus appeared to him in the hospital, he told him, always pray for people that are in the hospital. Always pray for them. Because when you pray, it involves my hand and the healing is different. Yes, it takes everything higher and to another level. You know, so don't throw away the supernatural because you do natural things. Don't throw away the natural because you are believing in the supernatural. Amen? And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they laid him in a manger. All right. After Jesus was born, I don't know exactly where he was born, but after he was born, there was no anywhere in the house. So they went and organized the stables. And the first sound that Jesus heard when he came to this world was moo. Moo. Now, what does this signify? This signifies the disguise of humility. Anybody who is humble is wearing a disguise. Most people don't recognize God's servant when they come in their disguise. Recently, I saw a picture of Ronaldo wearing a disguise and he went to behave like a beggar or something on the street and was playing with the people and they didn't know that it was him. A multi-millionaire because he was disguised. They didn't know who he was. You know? So, the disguise that God has for his people is the disguise of humility. So, most people don't realize humble things. If he had been born in a palace, oh yes, the Son of God has come. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Any important person in Ghana will be born, in certain places. And not usually Kolebo. Now, That's why a lot of good doctors sometimes don't know how to talk to patients, because they are used to talking to a certain type of people. Hey, where's your card? Sit down there. Hey, mommy, Kenwa, what are you doing? Doing this and that. Yeah. So a lot of Kolibu doctors don't know how patients, and they don't know how to speak to, sometimes people that can understand. They don't explain things to them. Yeah. If Jesus was born in Ghana, he wouldn't have been born at Kolibu. No. He would have been born where? Where would he have been born? Huh? Trust? Or where? Lister Hospital? Or where else? Nyaho Clinic? Lighthouse Hospital? Wow. Everybody here must be an expert at disguise. Recognizing people in disguise. Yeah. Don't only be attracted to flashy things. Yes. Don't only be attracted. You see, here we are in a cafeteria, but this is the headquarters of Lighthouse Chapel International. Yeah. Yeah. The headquarters of Lighthouse Chapel International is where the leader is. That's the headquarters. This is the headquarters. Yeah. Those at the Kodesh are my children. That's the reality. Yeah. But people don't recognize things that are disguised. Yes. You are blessed to be in the headquarters. Yeah. And don't be afraid of things that make you disguised. You see, there are some things that are your disguises. This is a mantle of humility. It makes you humble. It makes you cry. Anything that makes you cry, makes you small, and makes you nothing, is your disguise. God allows those things to come and plaster us, and cover us, and characterize us so much so that we are somehow sort of demoted in some people's eyes. Do you see? And it's actually God's humble clothing. You know, I realized this when I read Rick Joyner's book on the torch and the sword. The Lord came up to him and put a mantle on him and told him, when you go back to the earth, you know, don't remove it. And when you go back to the earth, he said, it's very humble. It's a very humble thing that I've put on you. It's a very humble thing. Everybody has something humble, especially if God loves you. It's something humble that you can't take off. I mean, take off your clothes now. Let's see if you can take it off. No, take off your dress. I dare you to take off your dress. You see, you can't take it off. That is how the humble clothing that God is giving. You can't take it off. Like, you want to take it off? Lord, I want to be free from this. No, you are having it. I'm having it. Yes. Bible says, clothed with humility. It's a clothing. Yeah. Sometimes we struggle with the clothing that God gives us. I want to take it off. Okay, take off. Take off. Is it not a blue dress? Where's the zip? Remove it, let's see. You see, you can't take it off. You are in the front too. You can't take it off. Aye! Whatever God has given you, that makes you small. Jesus, I thank you for it. Yes. Don't fight too much with your humble clothing. Jesus was born in a manger. You can't change it. You can't change it. You can't change it. Yeah. Hey. You know, to serve God is both victory and defeat. Yeah. You experience great triumphs and at the same time great sorrow. It's a mixture. That's why people miss God. Because of all these mixtures that are part of the kingdom. So Jesus was born in a manger. It was a complete disguise. There was nobody like this. When I preach, there's a particular sermon I have. It is called Why Many People Believe That Jesus is the Son of God. And even myself, when I preach, I realize that there is no one else. There's nobody like Jesus. Hey. I can see there's nobody like Jesus. No, not one. No. Been around the world, seen everything, but there's nobody like Jesus. Do this, do this, do this, do. Well, I go through walking on the water. Taking 5,000 people to KFC. Yeah, 5,000 people. Can you imagine the crowd? Yeah. Take away. And there's some extra after. Hey! Walking on the water. I mean, many times I've stood in front of a pool or at the sea. I've looked at the thing and said, what type of faith can make me walk on this water? Even to jump in with your clothes. Healing all kinds of people. Healing blind Bartimaeus. Yes. When Stevie Wonder came to my little office, I asked him, how did you become blind? And he was telling me, from birth. I said, wow. It reminded me of blind Bartimaeus. I saw how powerless I was. And how powerless all the American doctors and medicine 2015 years later have no power to solve this problem. Huh? But Jesus said, what do you want? You want money? You want this? You want this? So I want to see. He said, be opened. That's all. Be opened. And he began to see. There's nobody. There's nobody. Nobody like Jesus. Hey, no, no, not one. But he was disguised. Humble. I'm nobody. I was born in a manger. I'm a carpenter. 30 years he had the disguise of a carpenter. 30 years. And everybody knows that being a carpenter, you start from about the age of 15. Even today, if you're an apprentice, you start about 15. So for half of his life, he was a well-known carpenter. Making coffins, making furniture, making doors. Do you know what a carpenter is? These are the things a carpenter does. Roofs, roofing sheets, repairs, beds, coffee tables. That's Jesus Christ. Then suddenly you get up and say, I'm the Son of God. Hey! That is why he says, he came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as received and believed, as many as believed, he gave them power. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Fantastic. Now let's go on quickly before it's too late. And there were in the same country shepherds. Wow, shepherds. Look at where we are finding shepherds. This is the thing that people mock Lighthouse Chapel about. They say, shepherds. What is a shepherd? But in the Nigerian language, a shepherd is the same word as pastor. And what is the word? Olusho Aguton. Olusho Aguton. Which means shepherd, and it also means pastor. They don't have like one word for pastor and one word for shepherd. When you say you are an Olushon, what? Olushon Aguton. It means you are a pastor. It means you are a shepherd of animals. The one who follows the animal is also what? Olushon Aguton. So you are Olushon Aguton Ivy. True or not true?
True.
Olusun Aguton. So when you see this scripture, there were shepherds. Immediately, anybody who is interested in working for God must be alert. Shepherds, what were they doing? Christmas time. What were they doing at Christmas time? They were doing three things. How many want to know the three things these shepherds were doing? Wonderful shepherds. Wow. Number one, they were abiding in the field. Field work. They were abiding in the field. They were not in a posh office. They have rolled up your sleeves, workers. It's not about staying in an office with air conditioning, holding complimentary cars and briefcases. It's field work. Rough work. So those of us here who want to work for God, you know, which is everybody, must see what he's saying. Shepherds abiding in the field. That is why people who like posh things, riches, and like to look sleek and expensive, you can't easily do the work of an Olusho Aguton. You got to know how to go to people's houses. You got to know how to really be a field worker. They were living, abiding in the, they stayed in the field where the sheep are and where the sheep were. You see, that is one of the causes of poverty in Ghana. Anybody who gets a post wants to be a big man. But if you are, let's say, a minister of rivers, if you are a minister of rivers of Ghana, you must be at the riverside. Basically, your work is on the riverside, on the rivers. And we would greatly benefit with a minister for rivers. But if you were to have a minister of rivers, you see that he'll be in Accra. But the real place he should be is in Dunkwa Onofin and all the rivers which are being turned into poison lakes. Recently, somebody came to see me. She's experiencing different kinds of symptoms. You can't even tell what she has. She herself cannot tell what she has. And she told me, an American, she said, I suspect I have mercury poisoning because I live near the river. That's where they're doing the gold mining. All the rivers are, they're all death waters, waters of death. Because they put so much mercury in the rivers. It's brown. Brown. Hey. If we have a minister of rivers, he must be there, but he will not be there. If we have a minister of roads, he will be there. There's an office in Accra. They will be there most of the time, traveling around, go whatever, but the actual roads, the reality. Or minister of interior, which is supposed to fight things like armed robbery. He will not be in Kumasi where they are doing so much armed robbery. Like practically, armed robbery is here because it is allowed to be here. I once visited a country and I was about to sleep. And I called the people and I said that, please, before I sleep, I want to know, do you have armed robbers here? And they told me, there's nothing like armed robbery here. You can leave your door open. I said, really? I said, how come? He said, oh, we had a president who said that armed robbery is finished. And he wiped it out of there. He said, there is nothing like that here. It's not, I don't want to mention the name of the country. But it's not Nigeria. No, I mean, I thought you may think that it's Nigeria. It's not Nigeria. No, it could be because it's less in Nigeria now. People say that Ghana is more dangerous than Nigeria. But they had somebody who said, this thing is going out, and it went out. Yeah, they wiped it out. They wiped it out clean. He said, leave your door open. There's nothing like that here. I was amazed. He said, yeah, you can leave open. But abiding in the field, people don't like practical things. So you find that people that are prepared to stay in the church, like even First Love Church, I'm not in the, this is not a posh, whatever. We don't have anywhere to meet. So we are here. Yes, we just keep roaming. We will roam until we have somewhere to. It's not a problem. We will roam until we have somewhere to have church. It's a mobile church. And it's a blessing. I'm excited to be here. Are you excited to be here too? Yeah, why not? There's Misha in the church. Amen. Abiding in the field. So those of you who are not abiding in the field workers, you want to play instrument, but you don't want to fix it. You don't want to connect it. You want to arrive and start playing. There's field work in every job. You want to be called shepherd, but you don't want to visit anybody in their rooms. You don't want to go, oh, it's high, it's on the fourth floor, I can't go there. I'll be tired by the time I go upstairs. Or you are in tech, you say, I can't go, it's Africa Hall, 8th floor. I can't walk, my legs will pain me. Every job there is field work with it. And Africans don't like field work. Except you from today, in Jesus' name. You are a field worker. Everybody who wants to work for the Lord must be a field worker. You want to come and sit on chairs, but you will not help to fix the, arrange the chairs. You will not even help to put one chair down or remove one chair. And you see the same people who are always doing everything. Yeah. You want to come, but you don't know how the place gets decorated. But you don't want to do the field work. But these were shepherds abiding in the field. And if you keep watching, you see that an angel is about to appear. Angels appear to field workers. Angels appear to field workers. It's nice to come and find everything beautiful, but angels appear to field workers. You see, the angel of the Lord came down. Go back. So number one, they were abiding in the field. And I intend to abide in the field. That's why I'm here. There is no rich person in this church. All of you have nothing, but you have something one day. You watch and see. Yes. Yeah. All of you, I don't have phones. I receive texts from people. When I read it, so I'm using this person's phone. So this is my text from me. The other one is from the owner of the phone. Because people are borrowing phones. I mean, are sharing phones to text me or to WhatsApp me. Wow. But the day comes, you will have more phones to give away to people. Yeah. Number two, they were keeping watch over their flock. They were watching. They were still watching. By night. Is it by night? They were watching to see, is there those who forget? Is one of them coming? Those who forget is appearing at the back there. Trying to see if there is any, those who are disloyal. Yeah, those who pretend. Watching out for all of them. Those who are ignorant. Watching the flock. Sheep are not people you leave. You don't leave them for wolves. Because by the time you come in the morning, you see several. Look, when you have chickens, you know, chickens are good to have in your house because they will alert you that there are snakes, a snake is around. It's like they show that somebody is around. And you see that a fox or a wolf can come and bite several of them and eat only one. He'll eat one but kill a lot. Yeah, destruction. They destroy a lot. So you are having all these things and you just sit there calmly. No, 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 no. So shepherds, you can't afford to rest at Christmas time. A real shepherd is... What is he doing? What's he doing? Call this one. Visit this one quickly. Go and check on this. Go and check on that. Satan hasn't got Christmas vacation. Rather, you may see that he will rise up to do certain things. Yes, at Christmas time. So shepherds, that's why, you know, I have people that have worked at gold mines, banks, different things. When they came to work full time, The main comment is, I've never worked as hard as this before. That has been their comment. Because, you see, a shepherd doesn't close at 5. You can't close at 5. When I close here, there are so many things I have to. Maybe I even have to go to a hospital to see somebody. Yeah. There's nothing like, I mean, Christmas, what do you call it for a shepherd? You're keeping watch over the flock. And we will watch. Anybody who wants to become an orangu, you must know that we will fight you. Yeah, we have to fight you. We have to fight you. It's not that we don't love you. We love you, but we are fighting you. Yeah. We love you with fighting is our love for you. Yeah. You don't know what it involves to have a church. They can't just sit down and say, oh, you can have 3. You can have 3 what? A soul is the most, look, the most valuable thing to God. Just one soul. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? If he gains the whole world and loses his soul. Huh? It means that if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, it's not comparable. Yeah. It's not comparable. I think I would like to read that scripture. Mark 8. It says, what shall it profit a man if he shall lose his soul? Alright? Or what shall a man give in exchange? So in other words, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul, it's not equal. That means that one soul is worth more than the whole world. The whole world, not part of the world. That's the value of a soul. If he gains the whole world and he loses his soul, he's lost. If he gains the whole of Amsterdam, the whole of Geneva, the whole of England, the whole of Switzerland, New York, the whole of Nigeria, the whole world, the houses, the buildings, everything, the money, and just one soul. Once I lose it, just his soul. It's not equal to the whole world that is lost. That's how valuable a soul is to God. That's why those who win souls become the most valuable people to God. Those who win souls, they are the most treasured people in the palm of Jesus. Those who win souls. Because just one soul is so precious and expensive to God. If you gain everything in Ghana, you own like you own Ghana. You know, I was talking to one brother who goes to another country, lives in another country. He was telling me that there's no corruption in Ghana. I said, oh, really? He said, where I come from, there's corruption. I said, why? Why do you say that? So, where I am staying, my country, I don't want to mention this, it's a country that starts with a K. He said that country, they steal towns. Like, it's not like they've stolen a house, they steal the whole town or the whole village. They've stolen the whole village. It's not like they'll steal a house or they'll steal a car, but they steal the whole town. One person can steal a town. Wow. Are you still around or you're going home? Is it amazing? Yeah. It's not about taking a town. I'm talking about the whole world. Not a town. A world. The world. One soul is more than that. So when you win one soul, it's like you've got more than the whole world. Then 2 souls. More than the whole world. This 31st, everybody here is going to bring 7 souls to the house of the Lord. 7 souls. 7 souls. 31st night. 31st night. I'll tell you where it will be. Yeah. 31st night. You are going to win. So because you are going to win 7 times the whole world of value by winning 7 souls. 7 of the world. More than the world. Times 7 is the 7 souls you are bringing to the Lord. Look at Billy Graham. He can't even die. He can't even die. He cannot die. 96 years old. He wants to die. He can't die. He said, I want to die. Some of you want to live and you are struggling to live. He wants to die. He can't die. You got to watch out for souls. What's happening at the back? Those of you who are shepherds, this is a real shepherd watching. watching, watching. Who is falling back? Because as we go, people falling back. Yesterday night, some people fell back. Some of you just have to meet one boy, you will fall. When he comes, he just touches your cheek. Hi, baby. That's all. You are dead. You are gone. Your heart will fall. Your life will fall. Everything will fall. There are some people, they've disappeared into your past. But if they come back from the past into the present, when you see them, oh Lord, no. Hi, James. If James was to come back. The return of James. Yeah, like some of you, like you look strong, but it's because James hasn't come back. Like your strength is that the absence of that person. But if the person comes down and stands there and he says, I'm back. He says, I'm back. He says, I'm back. That is why a shepherd must keep watching. What's happening? What's happening there? Hey, are you okay? Are you okay? You make calls. You call them. Put all your sheep on a WhatsApp. Are you there? I don't hear from you. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. I want to know where you are. That's what a shepherd is. Olusho Aguton. Let them laugh at us that we are shepherds. We like it. It's a term we've seen in the Bible. We like to be shepherds. It's a great thing to be a shepherd. Yes. Those of you who have not graduated from being sinners into shepherds, your days of being a sinner are numbered. Today marks your ascendancy into a shepherding role. In Jesus' name. How many would like to be like these shepherds who are in the same kind? Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. What? No. Watching. So you are calling me too much. I will always call you. You tell me I will always be calling you. I will always call you. And some of the ladies are the best shepherds. Oh yes. Lady shepherds, they are wild. When themselves come. I mean. And the lady shepherd is following you. You see, God has given them some natural charm. And they combine that with the anointing. The natural and the supernatural are mixing up. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. The natural and the supernatural are mixing up. It's too much. Huh? Yeah, they can cane you even in the church. You see a grown-up, he's very humble. And his lady shepherd has called him. And he's become cool. This 31st, you are going to win 7 souls. Everybody will bring 7 souls. It's more than 7 times the whole of America, Russia, Asia, Africa together times 7. That's the value of what you are going to bring into the house of God. Yes. Because we are going to have a special 31st outreach concert. On 31st night. We are not starting at 9. We are starting at 7. Yeah, we are starting at 7. Is it amazing? How many want to win 7 times Russia, America, USA, what? Everywhere times 7 more. And they were watching over their flock by night. The third thing is that they were awake in the night. You cannot be a good shepherd without staying awake in the night. You say you are praying, but you were not awake in the night. Eh? Watching and praying, it happens in the night. Oh. By the time the day rises, you see that your prayers are finished. Somebody will be calling. Even whilst you are praying, there will be WhatsApping and the text will be coming. You pick the phone. Hello? I said, I'm praying. I'll call you back. But then you pick another one. Hello? Hello? I said, I'm praying. I'll call you. I'll call you after. Bye-bye. Then you pick another one. Hello? Hello? I'll WhatsApp you after. Bye-bye. I said, I'm praying. Bye. Wow. Watching over by now. This is Christmas. This is Christmas. This is a song. While shepherds watch their flock by night, I'll see the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. Take it again.
While shepherds watched their flock.
You see, while shepherds watched. While shepherds did what? While shepherds did what? Watched.
The angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around.
Shepherds. How many love this shepherding message? Hey, shepherds watching. Someone said, are you always angry? Say, I'm not angry, I'm watching. You seem to be tense. I say, I'm watching something. I'm monitoring my sheep. Wow. Fantastic. Back to Luke. And the angel of the Lord said to them, fear not. And the angel of the Lord came down, the glory shone round about them. And they were so afraid. Expect God to visit you with angels. Yeah. This coming year, there are people you will meet, you will think he's a man, but he's an angel. Yeah. I said, in the coming year, you will meet people. They are not people, they are angels. Yeah. Yes. They are angels. And they are sent to help you. Yeah. They are sent to help you. Much power is coming into your life. Whatever kept you down in 2015, by the presence of the angel of the Lord in your life, you are soaring higher. The angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory shone about. Glory will be shining all around you. What does glory mean? Glory means beauty. You are going to be beautiful. Some of you sisters, you are, when you look in the mirror, something tells you that you will never get a beloved. Like when you look at yourself in the mirror, something tells you that I will not get a beloved. But today, I declare, whatever will keep you from having a beloved, it is canceled today in Jesus' name. I declare you to be a beloved from today in Jesus' name. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will happen. Sit down. I've not finished preaching. I don't know why you are standing. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Wow. Which shall be to all people. Now, I want to say this. Why? Because for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. Here ends the reading of the scripture. Thanks be to God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, I just want to ask one question before I close for today. Or just one question. Your birth. Is it good news? Your birth. Is it good news? To anybody? Or for anybody? Your birth. As you've come. Is it good news? Or you are just living for yourself? It's like the goodness is for just for you. He says, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Why? Because somebody has been born. There is good news for the whole world. And I want to ask, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago and he's expecting some people to take the message of his great power and love to the rest of the world. He says, because a Savior is born, a Savior. Is that good news? Is there good news because of your coming? Or are you the most selfish brat, spoiled brat that ever came into this world who only thinks about himself and herself? No, I don't think you are. I feel in my heart that your birth is also good news for somebody. What are the name of our pastors in Seychelles Island? Ninu and who? Adam and Adam, yes. Ninu and Adam. When they were born, the angel of the Lord announced good news for Seychelles Islands. Yes. That is why today they are in Seychelles Islands. Yes. That's why today they are in Seychelles Island. Today they are there. There was good news for that island. And they are there today. They have started a church. Recently they had a convention and they sent pictures. They have started to win the souls of the islands. Yes. What about you? Your birth. Ask your neighbor. Charlie, you too. Your birth. Is there any good tidings about it? Or is it just a selfish life? Hey. Is your birth going to bring a change to anybody's life? Or are you just living for yourself? Living for yourself will not make you a happy person. Doing things, those of you who've never done anything for somebody else, you haven't discovered the joy of it. You would think that only having, enjoyment makes you happy. But when a woman gives birth, she really goes through a lot to give birth. But she's very happy. Very happy. If you want to see a happy woman, come to the labor ward. Some of them lift their hands like this. Victory. Like when the baby comes out, they shake their hand like, I've given birth. Hey! Meanwhile, they were in pain. They were suffering. They were wailing. But victory. What does your birth signify? Glad tidings for anybody or just you? No. All of you first lovers, I prophesy and declare over your life. Do you hear what I say? I bless you with the blessing of being good news to somebody, to nations, to families, to tribes, to peoples, to tongues, to languages. You are good news. Your coming is good news. Your coming is good news. Your coming, your arrival is good news. Because you are going to be a shining light to many people. Selfishness is taken out of you. Inward looking is taken out of you. Inward looking attitude is taken out of you. In Jesus' name. Sit down. Unto you is born this day good tidings of great joy. And what is a good tidings? A savior. A savior from what? Saving us from doom saw? No. Saving us from no water? Most of us don't have water in our houses. How many don't have water of where you are? Raise your hand. Some will even raise their legs. Yes. Many of us don't have water. Running water. Running water. That's what I don't mean bucket water. I mean running water. How many don't have running water? You dug your own boreholes. Yeah. We buy water. Jesus didn't come to save us from buying water. Jesus didn't come to save us from doomso. Jesus didn't come to save us from bad schools. Jesus didn't come to save us from a malaria. He came to save us, for he shall save the people from their sins. Your problem is your sins. Yes. I think that verse is in Matthew 1:21. So, for he shall save from their sins. Matthew 1, I think. He shall save the people from their sins. Sin is the problem. In South America, in Africa, Matthew 1:21, he shall save the people from their sins. That is what he's coming to do. He's not coming to save you from doomsday. Pastors are not politicians. We didn't come to save people from lack of education. Jesus came to save people. The problem was the sin. How many realize that your real problem is your wickedness, your sin? Yeah. How many feel a drawing towards sin? It's like sin is always calling you. It's like, oh Lord, then you see that you are going this way. Hey. Like a magnet. That he came to save us from our sins. You are good news. I decree and declare you to be the good news for somebody. In Jesus' name. Are you excited about it? I always pray that I'll be good news to somebody. Yes. And that makes Christmas worth it. You know, I read a verse and it made me sad. He came to his own. His own knew him not. Yes. That's why I put my name at the Kodesh founder, Dark Hayward Mills, because he would come to his own. There was nothing made that was made without him. Everything was made through him. Yeah, it can be built by you. There was not anything built that was built. That was not built by him or through him. But they will not know you. You go, they will not. So, who is that? Who is that? Half caste. That's how Jesus came to the world. They don't know him. They don't know who he was. What he is. And his own did not receive him. But as many as received him. As many as received him, he gave them power. Are you one of those that have received Jesus? As many as received Jesus. Curtis, you are good news. I declare you to be good news to many people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, you will walk into people's lives. And you're coming into their lives. It's the best thing that ever happened. That you came into their lives. You are a preacher. You are an anointed servant. You are a powerful shepherd. You are a great child of God. You are good news. I said you are good news. Many people will be glad that you came around. Both boys and girls. There will be no difference between the boys and the girls. The girls will be as good news as the boys. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and thank God for becoming good news. On this Christmas day. What a blessing. What a blessing. Oh yes, Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We thank you, Jesus. Father, thanks a million. Shh. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. Maybe somebody invited you. But today is Christmas Day, the day Jesus came as good news for you. If you are here and you know you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I do want to give my life to God today. Then lift up just your right hand like this. Lift it up high. And I'm going to pray with you. Today is Christmas Day. This way, like this. Lift it up high. God bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed for 1 minute. Your hand must be up like this. God bless you. God bless you. God bless. I want to give my life to God. God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, come to me. Come. Come. Come from where you are standing. Come.
To that mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering. His blood will flow freely. It will provide your healing.
You lifted your hand. Come to the front. That mercy seat. Come running to Jesus.
Come running. Come running. Come running. Come running to that mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering. His blood will flow freely.
Lift your hand, say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus. Everyone join in. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life and I give my heart to Jesus Christ today. This Christmas day, I open up my heart and I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Master. Dear Lord, please write my name in the book of life. Wash me, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus from today. Say, from today, I belong to God and I will serve God. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this world to save me. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.